Good afternoon and welcome to the Sioux Falls Parks and Recreation Board Meeting. This is our Wednesday regular board meeting. It is December 20th of 2023 and we are at the Overlook Cafe here at beautiful Falls Park. Our first order of business is our roll call and determination of quorum.
Ann Noctegal.
Present.
Mike Begeman.
Yes, here.
Mick Conlon. Rick Weber.
Here.
Brooke Wagner.
Here.
Teresa Cowles.
Present.
Jim Stavinger.
Present.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Second item on our order of business is approval of minutes from the October meeting. Those were in your board packets. Hopefully you had a chance to look at those and review those. I would entertain a motion for approval.
Move to approve, Begeman.
Second, Stavinger.
And roll call, please.
Noctegal.
Approve.
Begeman.
Approve.
Conlon. Weber.
Approve.
Wagner.
Yes.
Cowles.
Approve.
Stavinger.
Yes.
Minutes are approved. Thank you. The third item on our order of business is our public comment. This is an opportunity for those in our audience to speak on issues that are important to them and our parks. I first want to introduce some guests that are with us tonight. They are the members of the Weeblow Sten, which is fifth graders, and their parents. And they are the Cub Scout Pack 155 right here in Sioux Falls. They are learning about local government and how it works. And this is part of their Building a Better World badge. And actually, they've already weighed in online on our swimming pool survey. So thanks for doing that and welcome. So I would open it up. This is, as I said, an opportunity for those in our audience to come up in our public comment session. When you do come up, please state your name and what you're here to tell us about.
Good afternoon. My name is Kristen Phipps. I am the president of Sufu Off-Leash Dog Association. Recently, a master plan concept was unveiled to our group plus public comment. It didn't go over real big. So today, I want to say thank you to Dawn for inviting me to a user group last night that met, hoping that we can get some things situated with this plan to make it more user-friendly for all the groups that are planning on using the park. So I do appreciate that. As a user group, we enjoy using this park 365 days a year. And I am not kidding. Last year we had Christmas breakfast in the parking lot.
Great.
So right now we have about 500 dogs currently using the area. And that would be as small amount as a weekly visit and as large amount as my two dogs visit twice a day. So it is a very used area. The current master plan that was unveiled limited our amount of space and we do not feel that that is a good use of space there. It would make the dogs, the area for the dogs to run in a lot more congested. Right now we do not have problems. I won't say that there's never a fight, but there's very rarely fights like you see in the fenced areas and that kind of thing. So we are just asking for you to really look at that master plan and make sure before you approve it that it is a good plan for all of the users involved. I do have a letter that I'd like to give to you. This is from a dog trainer in town who is weighing in her opinion. And so I had made a copy for each of you for that. And but the one thing I would like to put out there too, I don't know if you've been down there, but I would be more than happy to take any of you down there and let you experience the park as we all experience it, and just see why we were upset with that plan. So I thank you for your time, and I'll leave the letter from the trainer. Her name is Lydia. She is the head trainer out in Smokin', Dakota.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
Hi.
My name's Megan Klumper, and I am a dog owner who I go to the park often. But I feel like I offer a different perspective. Because I don't have kids. I can't physically have kids. And that park is what I do with my dog. And she's my baby. She is the one that I spend all the time with. I look forward to going and doing things. And that park is really a part of our lives. It's what makes me happy. As far as the other parks, people look at the majority of what they think of when they think of families. They think of kids and playgrounds and all of that. Well, what about me and my family? There are a lot of families like me who I don't need the playground. I don't need to be around all the kids and things, but I want to be able to spend time with my dog and walk at the park. Now, we do have all the dog parks, the, you know, fenced-in ones, but I don't want to go to the park and stand there and talk to all these other people. I want to spend time with my dog, get some exercise, enjoy nature. And so I guess I just want you to think about people like me who maybe don't fit the norm, because there are a lot of us that get forgotten. And when I noticed that it was, the plan was to limit it, I mean, I was very disappointed, because that's like my happy place. That's my mental health break from the stress of life. And to take that away, I mean, I'm gonna have to really struggle to find something else or what I'm gonna do in that case. And I just don't feel like taking it away would be good for me and a lot of people. So just my two cents to share.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Michael Smith, and I too am a frequent user of the dog park. We go out there 9 times a week, twice on the weekends. And you know, I just want to say that when I moved to Sioux Falls, when I found this off-leash park, it was something that was unique for Sioux Falls. Not a lot of places have a large area where people can bring their dogs. Everybody that comes out there absolutely loves it. I mean, the dogs get along great. My dog was actually hurt in the fenced-in area. She was running with other dogs, and they ran into a lady. Lady fell and broke her leg and had to amputate. She doesn't even like to go in there. So, I mean, if I didn't have an off-leash park, I don't know where I'd take her either. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, she's a lab, so she loves to run through the grass like that. I mean, just absolutely loves just sniffing around and everything. So, I mean, to take that, but to limit that area would also, you know, not be as attractive to people that are wanting to move to Sioux Falls, that have dogs. You know, when they hear that, we have this great park for the off-leash, and we can train our dogs out there, and we can do whatever with our dogs, spend our time with the dogs. It is something that is very important to everybody. So, I thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Erica Iverson. This is only the second Parks and Rec Board meeting I've been to. The first one was when you voted to name the Skate Plaza after my aunt, Barb Iverson. Mm. So I'm deeply touched and grateful for that, and here to speak on behalf of the off-leash area. My husband and I go out there every day. Our lives are better. Our dogs' lives are better. Our lives with our dogs are better. Our neighbors' lives are better because our dogs get to go out there and run off that energy. It's where I take visitors. I lived away from South Dakota for 20 years, a lot of that time in New York City. So for me to come back and be able to find a space where you could walk and see the sky. We're getting into the colder months, so now in the mornings you usually see a couple of bald eagles. In the evenings, you'll see and hear owls. As you walk, you see the beaver dams, which I hope don't get taken out for kayaks, because we're hearing both that we want to keep it natural and that we got to develop it in order for it to be a natural park. The road through the middle just doesn't seem to make sense to me. So I just encourage you to keep that space large and wild, and we're not the only ones who use it. I have a friend who goes out and does his distance running out there, fully aware that it's a dog park and fully comfortable that dogs are running sometimes near him or with him. It's also, to be a little sentimental, during COVID, when we couldn't be together, as I had lived in New York, I had a number of friends die in the pandemic, and that's where I would go on the days that funerals were happening, where I couldn't be together with somebody. So we'd go for a walk, and we'd remember, and we'd talk, and that's separate from the dog park, maybe entirely, but the reason I was there was because of the dogs. It's an incredibly special place. I've lived a lot of other places, and there aren't places like that. I would love to see Sioux Falls celebrate that and celebrate having a natural area right in their city. So just another request to please keep it in mind as you move forward with things.
Thank you.
Hi, Chris McLuhan. I didn't really plan on speaking today, but also with the off-leash dog park. Just really hope you guys take a look at it. Some of the things that I personally disagree with, and I think a lot of people disagree with, the development of Skunk Creek for kayakers and fishers, because I could literally walk across it without getting my ankles wet right now, so I don't know if anyone's going to kayak anyway. The significant reduction in the off-leash dog area, the road through the middle of it, and just overall the mass development of a perfectly usable natural area that you've heard people utilize. I myself utilize it, I would say 5 to 8 times per week. I'm out there pretty much nightly unless there's a thunderstorm or a blizzard. I can't tell you how many times I've cut paths through the snow after a fresh blanket of snow. People are out there in the winter. They're out there all the time. So really enjoy the area. Really would like to see it untouched, not against progress, not against new things. But yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Wonderful. Well, we do appreciate everyone speaking. Obviously, our job is to listen to the community when making decisions, and I know that this is far from being done. So we really appreciate you coming and voicing the stories and your concerns. Thank you. Okay, onward to new business. Our first item for new business is the agreement between the City of Sioux Falls and the Sioux Falls School District for the development of a new school and park site.
Good afternoon. This item is an agreement between the City of Sioux Falls Park and Recreation Department and the Sioux Falls School District for the development of a new park site. So the park site, if you have in your packet, your Exhibit A, it is adjacent to McGovern Middle School. It's a 7-acre site. The school district had a 40-acre site in that area. We bought 7 acres from them back in 2010. Since that time, we did not develop it. It's been sitting in a farm lease for the majority of that time. Reason we didn't develop it at that point is there was no residential development around the site. And then also, with it being a middle school, we just don't see the use that we get like an elementary school, just because middle schoolers don't go out for recess, don't do a lot of that stuff. But fast forward to today, the residential development has really grown with the Jefferson High School across the street. And then also the Sioux Falls School District is now looking at building an elementary school at that site. The elementary school will be going in Lot 4B on Exhibit A. So it's kitty corner from McGovern Middle School, but it is also adjacent to the other side of the park. The park site is Lot 4C in Exhibit A. So basically what we're looking at with this agreement is to include the initial park site development with the larger school development. Basically, we're taking economy, taking advantage of the economy of scale. And then it also helps really grade the site a lot better and help the park site tie in with the two school sites. So the initial park site development that we're looking at with this is the mass grading, topsoil, seeding, fertilizer, trees around the perimeter on the front yard, and then also the perimeter sidewalk to basically finalize the safe route to school through our property. Basically, what we're looking at, we have a cost estimate of $207,000, I believe.
76.
$267,000, sorry. Or $206,000.
276.
276, sorry.
Hey, it's Thursday, Dory. It's Thursday.
Right, you know? Right. That's $276,000. How it works is the school district bids out the full package. They get actual bid prices for our work. They administer the project and then bring us in at final acceptance. We do a final walkthrough so that we can make sure that it's all done to our satisfaction. And then at the end of the project, we then reimburse the school district for actual costs of the project. So we're looking for a recommendation for approval for this. Be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions the board has for Tori or staff on this agreement?
How do you see this being developed?
So what we typically look for on a neighborhood park site like this is basically we like the flat, open green space that drains, and we just don't want to have areas that are basically ate up with drainage and stuff like that. So it'll be pretty much a flat site for the time being. And then what we typically do is then put it in our capital program for the full park site development. And typically what we add to a site like this, so the school district typically has like an asphalt playground, so we can take advantage of that even though it's their property. So what we do is just try to enhance that. We try to put another playground for maybe a different age group of kids, and then picnic shelter, water or drinking fountain, walking loop is usually really popular, possibly like another sport court if you want to do like a pickleball or something like that. But that's a typical neighborhood site for you.
Any other questions? All right, well, we're looking for a recommendation of approval.
Wagner, so moved.
Second, Cowles.
Doctor.
Approve.
Begeman.
Approve.
Weber.
Approve.
Wagner.
Yes.
Cowles.
Approve.
Stavanger.
Approve.
Okay,
motion passes 6-0.
Thank you. Thanks, Tori. Second item for new business is the First Premier Sponsorship Agreement at the Gleiss Mobile Ice Rink. Jackie.
Good afternoon. So this agreement is very similar to what you saw in October with Boys and Girls Club of the Sioux Empire. So this is that same Gleiss rink, just adding an additional sponsorship to it. So this would be First Premier Bank and Premier Bank Card sponsoring the Gleiss. So Premier Bank, they were one of the first entities that helped the Boys and Girls Club bring the Gleiss rink to the city a few years ago. So as part of that partnership and as part of Boys and Girls Club selling it to us at a discounted rate, we'd love to continue to promote Premier Bank and Premier Bank Card along with Boys and Girls Club of the Sioux Empire. So this agreement for the most part is identical to that last one. It ultimately outlines that it's a five-year term, terminating on December 1st of 2028. We will advertise First Premier Bank and Premier Bank Card internally and externally on the Gleiss rink. The Gleiss rink is currently set up downtown on the mural, and you will see First Premier Bank is currently listed on the dasher boards. In addition to the physical Gleiss rink, we will continue to promote First Premier Bank and Bank Card along with Boys and Girls Club in all of our collateral materials as well. So when we promote the Gleiss on social media or in our activities guide, you will see both of those entities listed as well. So this just formalizes their sponsorship agreement and allows us to put your name on the Gleiss rink, and staff recommends approval.
Any questions, comments for Jackie from the board? All right, we're looking for a motion for approval.
So moved. Cowles.
Second, Begoman.
Okay.
Nachtigall.
Approve.
Begoman.
Approve.
Weber.
Approve.
Wagner.
Yes.
Cowles.
Yes.
Stavanger.
Approve.
6-0.
Thank you so much. All right, last item on our new business is the election of Parks and Rec board members. This happens every year. We do this, and so the natural transition is for the president to step off, and the vice president would come up. The treasurer would move into that vice chair role, and then we would need to seek a new person on the board to fill the treasurer role, or secretary role, excuse me. I have spoken with Mike Begoman, who is currently vice chair, and he has agreed to step in that president role. I've also spoken with Teresa Cowles, who is our current secretary, and she has agreed to move into the vice chair role. And also Mick Conlin has agreed to fill the secretary role. So that is our slate of officers, but I want to also open it up for conversation for other, you know, other nominees for those leadership roles on the board. And if there are none, I would entertain a motion, need a motion to approve the current slate. So that would be again.
I need a motion to approve the slate as presented.
Thank you.
Second, Wagner.
All right. Then we'll call.
Nachtigall.
Approve.
Begoman.
Approve.
Weber.
Yes.
Wagner.
Yes.
Cowles.
Yes.
Stavanger.
Yes.
We'll be good, gently.
Always a jokester. All right. Thanks, guys. We are on to the report of the Director of Parks and Rec. Don.
Thank you. And first and foremost, thank you for your leadership the last 2 years as president of the board. Appreciate all your time and effort and doing ribbon cuttings and groundbreakings and those kinds of things and representing the board well. So thank you for leading us the last couple of years. So a couple things that I wanted to go over with you. We had a Delbridge working group meeting this week. Had a good dialogue with that volunteer group to talk about some of the proposals that we received from consultants to help us evaluate the Delbridge collection. Ultimately, the board, the working group voted unanimously to hire A&M Art Conservators. They're out of New Jersey that specialize in museums and curating museums and assessing condition of museum artifacts and mounts and those kinds of things, and really considered a leader in that industry. And so we will be retaining them. The city will be retaining them to evaluate the collection at the end of the month. That's the soonest they could get to the project. And then in the next 60 days, hope to have a formal report for us to review as part of the working group to assess the collection, the conservation value, the condition of the specimens themselves. You know, its evaluation as a natural history museum and how that stacks up, so to speak. So really feel like we got a good group that is not only a group of people that are art conservators, but they also have specialists that are specialized in taxidermy as well. And so the group is excited about that. We also heard from the city attorney's office regarding the bond that was sold to construct the building that the collection is currently housed in. The bond council basically came back and said that the city satisfied all the requirements of the bond, and then also indicated that based on the life of the building that we've satisfied the permanent home requirement that was in the language of the gifting agreement that we had with the Delbridge family. So there is one other legal opinion coming forward, and that is regarding whether or not the gift agreement is considered a charitable trust in the state of South Dakota, which will really kind of clear the way with regard to, or clear the air with regard to, any legal restrictions or requirements that we would be placed under based on the future of what the working group may recommend to the mayor's office and the council as to what happens with the collection. So we're off and running. Becky's been very good to work with over at the zoo. And so in the next 60 days, we'll hope to be able to see what that report says and provide some good guidance to the working group going forward. So I didn't entertain any questions about that particular item right now, anything on that at all. Try to keep you up to date during committees, but so we're off and running on that. Ice skating is non-existent as we speak. I looked at the 10-day forecast and I do not see a temperature below freezing, which is good for most of us that are traveling probably, but not great for making ice. So this is kind of unprecedented. I don't know that we've ever been projected beyond the first of the year before we started making ice. So it's a wait and see situation, and then we'll make ice when we can make ice. And hopefully that's not too long.
How about Great Bear?
Great Bear is kind of in the same boat. They can make snow at night, but you know, they're really not a whole lot they can do when daytime temperatures are like they are. So they're targeting January 1st for their opening date, and I think that's kind of depends on, you know, I think that's their hope with the idea that not everything would be open at that point, but they are making snow. They're doing their best. Yep. With the conditions we're presented
it's
with.
It's interesting having such a great year last year and lots of snow and then just the opposite now.
Yeah, well, tail of 2 years, that's for sure.
Yep.
It's good for our snow removal budget though too. So that's good.
Not for those of us with Great Bear passes though.
Right.
We'd
correct.
Like to get out there.
You're one of 1,600 that's waiting to ski, right?
Yes. Well, let's just go longer into the season, right?
Yeah.
Well, they'll ski until April 1st.
They do a good job. They'll make it up some. They do a good job.
So we covered Great Bear. That was on my list. So that's good. Just a hats off to the operations team. I've had more compliments about the Winter Wonderland display than I've had this year. The attention to detail, the quality of what's been done, mixing it up, changing it up, has gotten a lot of compliments and that we're passing along to our team. But, you know, Brian Sargent and the various groups that lead that effort within the department, and it affects not just the crew that works at Falls Park, but many others throughout the department that help with that. So excited about that. Also wanted to share Jacobs Plaza. If you drove in down Phillips Avenue, they're having...
Tearing it up.
Yeah, they're tearing it up, literally. And these are bonus days for construction, not only with Jacobs and Plaza, but with the Downtown River Greenway Phase 3, as well as the skate park. Skate park folks has pulled off for the year. They'll come back in the spring and finish up, but they got a lot more done than they originally anticipated this fall because of the beautiful weather. Both projects are on schedule, if not a little ahead of schedule, and no whammy so far with regard to change order or unforeseen conditions. And that's usually when you find it, when you're digging underground. And all the contaminated soil that was on the Jacobs and Plaza site has been hauled off. It's been monitored through Geotech, our testing company, to make sure that's handled properly. And so those projects are moving along well. The other thing I wanted to mention was concessions at Midco. So we have a new operator there, and I would ask Jackie if she could come up and talk to us a little bit about our transition plan from Stensland's.
So we are 2 weeks out from Parks and Recreation running concessions at the Midco Aquatic Center, so very exciting time, something very different for us because we have never done this on our own before. So asking for a lot of patience and grace from our patrons as we take this over, but exciting. So 2 weeks out, we have been ordering equipment, you can't even imagine, so we can actually cook some food. Supplies will start to be ordered here very soon, but really working through what the menu is going to look like, how we're best going to serve all of our user groups, as well as our day-to-day patrons. So right now we are planning on being open bell to bell. So 7 days a week when the center opens, we'll be open. And we'll be open until the center closes. Really focused initially on swim meets, as well as all of our parties. So a lot of that initial focus, initial gearing up, supply orders and things like that, will really be for the swim meets and the parties. But we will move forward with a full menu. It's going to be more of a cafe style menu. I'm excited. The team is, you know, really excited about it. We are getting staff hired, working through the process. So yeah, we take over January 1st. We hope to be soft opening January 4th. All of that is contingent on equipment and supplies. We do have a swim meet January 5th, so our goal is to absolutely have food available January 5th and then build the menu out as we continue to go and grow throughout this process. So I'd be happy to answer any questions as it relates to concessions.
How has the staffing done?
Staffing has been great.
Really?
Yes, we were very pleasantly surprised. We posted the position and had 23 applicants immediately. So for part-time, 28-hour positions, we were blown away with what we received. And then, even though we don't have ice, we do have staff hired for the ice rinks right now. So that is kind of a backup for us as well. Come that first, second week of January, if our staffing starts to slower for some reason, you know, we don't get people moved through the HR system as quickly as we need to, we can rely on that ice rink staff to come work concessions for us as well.
Great. And who did you hire to lead the concessions?
So we hired Heather Taylor. Heather Taylor comes from the family business, Taylor's Pantry. And so she has a lot of good experience and knowledge in the concessions world, just in the food and beverage world. So, you know, knowing the right people, having the right connections, and knowing how the process works has really helped make the process very smooth and expedited.
I think she's done a good job of, like, I've seen a number of surveys and things go out that are looking for input from the public.
Good.
I think that's
awesome. I'm glad you've seen them.
Done her due diligence.
There you go.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, good. Yeah, we're looking for menu ideas, suggestions, you know, anything anybody wants. We're here to serve, and we're here to make people happy and provide the food that everybody wants. So, whether it's healthy options or not so healthy options, we're open to all of it. So we just need people to tell us what they would be willing to purchase so we can make sure we can provide it.
Sounds great.
Thanks, Jackie.
Yep.
Thanks for the update.
That's the end of our report.
All right. Any questions for Don?
So Don, I did have a question. Actually, I got this question from someone with all the interest in the off-leash park,
yep.
Family park.
Yep.
Could you just tell your best estimate of the timing? How long the planning will go, at what point it'll come back to the park board, does this go to the council, just kind of big picture so people have a sense of kind of a projected calendar timeline?
Yeah, the good news is that we're under no deadline to have a master plan approved. This is a process that I know you all are familiar with. Whenever we get a new piece of ground and we're trying to figure out what we're going to do with it, we develop a master plan and engage the community, neighborhoods, whatever it might be, depending on the situation. And so the good news is there is no deadline for us to complete it. However, we don't like to just have things linger. We like to keep things moving. And so as Kristen said when she did her public testimony, was we did have a meeting last night with a smaller working group of various different stakeholders to try to come up with some common ground, some solutions to, you know, what are the key things that the off-leash group would like, what would the neighborhood like with regard to features, and we brought in Game Fish and Parks as with regard to their perspective, because they've been our partners with Family Parks since day one. You know, and then obviously we're trying to honor donor intent with both the Soka family and the Unzelman family, and so we're just trying to pull all that together. You know, I left the meeting kind of saying, you know, usually a good deal means that not everybody got what they want, but everybody got a little something with regard to that. So hopefully we can get to a point where we can take our largest park in the city and turn it into something that supports off-leash dog use, but also supports other potential uses that we heard about when we surveyed the community about what they'd like to see. So I would anticipate that we'll have another meeting probably in that February timeframe to go back out to the community and get their feedback, and then potentially in between there having another stakeholder meeting to talk about refining some plans that, you know, people are comfortable with putting out there that they can lean into instead of dragging along, so to speak, really come up with a plan that serves the community well, serves the stakeholders well. But again, no definitive timeline. If it takes till March or April, we've got that kind of time. But we also have a few other things that we're working on, as you can probably imagine. So with, you know, record levels of capital investment in our park system, with pool replacements, Jacobson Plaza, River Greenway, all those other things take a ton of time. And so we'd like to put closure on it, but again, not trying to rush anything and trying to make sure people feel like they're brought along and have some feedback and input into the plan that ultimately we'd ask this group to adopt. We will be going to the council on January 2nd to talk, give an update on the master plan to the council at an informational. And then also, we're also going in front of the council with McKinnon Park to give them an update on those neighborhood discussions about the pool replacement and related amenities adjacent to the pool. So
So will the council have the final say-so on the county park?
No. Park board, park master plans don't go to the city council.
No.
They do, however, appropriate funding, and so that's where they come into play with regard to master plans and well cost estimates, well phasing plans, and those kinds of things. But certainly they're entitled to be able to be updated and those kinds of things, which we're going to do on the 2nd. But ultimately, you know, once a master plan is completed, a lot of times they sit on the shelf until they become a priority. Like Tori talked about, hey, we've had this property out at McGovern Middle School for years and years, probably 10 years by now, but we've really not done anything with it because there wasn't the critical mass of people that lived out there that would actually use it. So timing is good now, and so we're moving forward with that. We programmed money in the CIP to develop it, and in programming additional money down the road for the other elements that he talked about, in addition to grading, seating, trees, sidewalks, those kind of things. So,
thanks for that.
You bet.
Great explanation.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Don.
Yep.
Thanks, Don.
You bet.
Okay, next up on our agenda is items added after the agenda deadline. None that I am aware of there. Next up is reading of communications to the board. None there as well. We are at open board discussion.
Merry Christmas.
Indeed.
I think we all need to take a little tour around this Falls Park here tonight. All right, last item is adjournment. Looking for a motion.
So move, Begman.
Thank you. We're adjourned. Thanks for joining us.